When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tim and Joel, call it in the ring. It's the one where we talk about all the pro wrestling.
Like, on this channel, that's everything. Like, that's every show.
What's up? That's not true. Some of them are about random, like, mediocre sitcoms and stuff.
That's true. We've also done, we also have a show on this channel that talks about basketball and hockey.
Yeah, those are different. That's not
pro wrestling. I don't know how we got that one on the air.
I don't know.
It's a very strange. There are some weird shows on this channel. Like, I don't know. Like, you think the guy who co-runs the channel would know better than to let this happen? Really put my foot down on some of these ideas.
I think they predate us, though, don't they? So kind of tough.
Nothing really predates us. We've been here. This is our.
Like Luchasaurus. We've just been ever present. Sorry,
that's right.
Luchasaurus Oscuro.
Thank you. We definitely called that. Big ups.
Boy, howdy, we did. I really wish they took that mask off him, but apparently he's just changed his skin color.
He's just got black skin now. What was I going to say? This is our 120th episode, by the way.
Is that special? Is that a special number?
No, it's a round-ish number. So when I was doing the thumbnail, I always number them based on what episode it is, right? So this one would be EP 120. And I had written 119. Now I don't even keep track.
I stopped keeping track. I was also very, but yeah.
The only reason I know is just because of how I track the thumbnails, but this is 120 episodes. And now people who are like watching us and found us through Fightful Overbooked are going to be like, they've done 120 episodes. What the frick is wrong with them?
Yeah. I don't know.
How are they still on? We're almost at 2 years as well. August 20th is going to make 2 years that we've been on this channel, which is pretty friggin' wild.
It's pretty wild.
We've outlasted the Thunderdome, Tim.
Aw, I miss the Thunderdome.
Well, you want to talk about Money in the Bank?
Yeah, I guess we kind of have to, don't we?
We do, but first...
Things occurred.
First, we got to tell you about leaving a thumbs up on this video if you're watching live on youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked, huh? That's a good start right there. You can leave us a comment. We can talk about whatever you want in the chat. It's all wrestling related. You know how it goes. And you subscribe here to Fightful Overbooked because we've got over 13,000 of you, 13,300 of you. And on top of that, I want to beat the main channel. I want to have more subscribers here on Overbooked than I do on the main Fightful channel. The main Fightful channel has 72,000 odd people. We can get there. If someone tells a friend and then they tell that friend and then next thing you know, boom, 72,000 plus. You don't need Sean Ross Sapp. You got us. We're much more fun, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn right. Screw those guys.
Yeah, forget those guys. We got an Overbooked Discord too. Everyone once in a while is just like, why don't we have a Discord on the main Fightful channel? Well, you know what? The main Fightful channel doesn't need a Discord because the Overbooked channel has a Discord. So go join it. There's a link in the description of the video here on YouTube. And finally, send us your super chats, would you? Help us be these self-funded, self-sufficient folk that we are. Support Fightful Overbooked, okay? Send us your super chats, $, bottom of the chat screen. Any amount, get your question statement read on the air and popped up on the screen as is now. Tim, You know who else popped up last night at Money in the Bank?
No.
Theory.
Did he pop up? He was there already.
I mean, he popped up in the match.
Yeah. But is that even a surprise? Like, I'm not surprised by that.
So, okay. I'm of several mindsets here. And I don't think anyone will be shocked about that. Mm. On one hand, we always preach building new young stars.
Correct.
On the other hand, it's this guy.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. You've got people who feel special. And to me, Theory doesn't have that at all. Like, sorry, Theory.
It's true.
Like, he really doesn't. Like, his moveset is not particularly noteworthy. Like, I've never seen him do a move and been like, oh yeah, that. Like, he's not even like especially tall. He's not especially interesting looking. Like, there's nothing. They changed his name and then modified his gear ever so slightly so that stupid Avengers A is now an Avengers T. Like,
So here's the thing. Like, he's very much a gimmick. He's not a character. When he was in The Way, when he was doing the NXT stuff with Gargano and LeRae and Indy Hartwell, he was so much more of a character. There was so much more. And then, they strip him down. They do the WWE thing where main roster, you get one trope, you hit it all the time. And that's what they've done to him. They were like, you're Mr. McMahon's protege and you take selfies. And he's like, oh, I could do that. And the look is like, he has a look.
Like, he's fit. He looks like literally every other wrestler. Like, it's just not special to me, right? It's just not a guy that, like, stands out in the crowd. Like, when he was doing the Way stuff, he was funny because he was doing, like, the low-hanging fruit of comedy, like, where he's just the dumb oaf. Like, I don't
know. I'm gonna get this right out of the way. People who are saying Theory winning sucks due to the outside stuff. Now, if you know, you know. But at the same time, guaranteed you, if you are in that arena last night with 12,000 people, I'd maybe think 2,000 max knew about what was alleged 2 years ago. I really don't think, and I really honestly, at this point, I've stopped caring because I'm not here to police. I'm not HR. I can't do shit about it. It's either I stop watching or I just, you know, I keep going with what I'm watching, and I'm not going to stop watching because, quite frankly, that one thing is not egregious enough. The Vince McMahon stuff should have been the icing on the cake. Probably is for a lot of people. But the fact is, with the Theory stuff, like, I don't care. So really what does it for me, the Theory stuff that turns me off about Theory, is exactly what we're talking about. The lack of the character, the lack of the standout material, where we need something that's going to have his character as a wrestler stand out to us. That's the only thing that's really missing on screen to me.
Well, and it's frustrating because there's the perfect foil. And I know you've been doing the shtick, but like, Madcap Moss is excellent. He does stand out. He has landed on his head, as we have shown many times, in a way that was interesting. Like, his moveset is interesting to me. He's able to work with pretty much everyone. That's the one. And like, he has managed to overcome being given like a pretty corny gimmick, I find, and I really enjoy watching him on screen. Like, when he just goes on Friday, I'm just happy to be here. Like, I loved it. There's something about him, right? Like, there's something about him that draws me to him. So it's frustrating to see that they're going with this other guy who continues to just give me nothing. Like, I'm just not feeling it personally. So
yeah, and it's one of the things that we find most difficult with a lot of these characters is that the acting isn't there, or just there's a missing piece somewhere. And I want to see Theory, you know, make the most out of this opportunity. I want to see something happen, because I want to see the stories be interesting, and I want to see the cash in or whatever they tell with his briefcase be substantial. I don't really trust that it's going to happen, but I mean, we were wrong before. We'll talk about Liv in a few minutes, but
yeah,
the Theory stuff, what really I think bugs most people from the show perspective is the whole let the crowd go home happy, send them home happy. They did the absolute opposite of that, but they also booked themselves into a corner with it, because the second he was added to the match and people knew, oh shit, he's gonna win, they didn't have any other matches to run in the lineup that would have made sense, because everything else, like, they weren't going to run Natty and Rousey as the main event because that would have absolutely tipped their hand. They would have, it would have been totally obvious that Liv was going to cash in and win money or win the women's championship. Instead, they just painted themselves into the corner and they were like, "Well, I guess you'll have to tune in on Monday," and that was that.
Yeah, which, you know, there's a time and place for that that really works. Like back in the pay-per-view days, I feel like that was more okay, right? Because you sold the show already and you made a big chunk of money and you could end it with something a bit controversial. And then, yeah, you're more interested in people tuning in on Monday. Whereas now, not so much. People will watch out of sequence a lot of times, especially with the YouTube clips and things like that. So, like, I feel like the Liv win was just because they had to offset what they were doing here. Like, I really think everyone in the back just looked at what Vince wanted and they're like, okay, well, we got to do something.
So let's talk about that real quick. I mean, yeah, there's one thing about the Money in the Bank that's really been frustrating for the last few years. Not even Money in the Bank. Let's just face it. It's been the biggest issue with WWE is booking moment to moment.
Yeah.
And that is something you and I have talked about a billion times on the show. It's something that other people discuss ad nauseum, but it was on Showcase. It was on display here moment to moment. They added Theory to the match. Theory won the title. Won the Money in the Bank. You had Bobby Lashley winning the US Championship in fairly dominant fashion. Again, that's a moment. And then Liv wins Money in the Bank. It felt a little, I don't want to call it fan service because it wasn't that.
No,
what it really proves is that if you are a character who gets beat down week after week on TV and you're not a dominant player, but your fan base is that they boost you up so much that they are undeniable in the eyes of those watching, then they have to give them that moment. And that's what that's kind of what happened with Liv. And I'm not going to take away from Liv as a performer.
No. Like, she has improved immeasurably.
Tremendously.
But this feels big time like Big E. Like, that's what this feels like to me.
Yeah.
Very much like that. I assume it's going to end very much like that. And that frustrates me. And it is what it is. I'm not surprised by anything WWE does anymore. So.
Honestly, I'd been saying for months that it was going to be Lacey. But then when I saw the match and how Lacey was moving, working, I
not
was like,
featured really. Like,
it was okay. That was the moment when the match started. I was like, not her.
Not there yet. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Something's happened in between her coming back. Like, between all the character vignettes and the will they, won't they put her on Raw or SmackDown. Like, something really got weird. Shotzi in the match, unfortunately, had a whole lot of trouble lifting people up, keeping people up. Looks like she smacked the back of her head. Hope she's okay. It just really sucked.
Yeah, where did the blood come from? I guess it was her hand.
I think either her hand or she hit her head on the back of a ladder and maybe it was coming from there.
It was rough. Even the Raquel spot, like, you know, it was supposed to be this massive like showcase moment where she's able to pick up the two smaller women and it just couldn't get the other side up. And I was like, oh, well.
There's a moment in that match where Becky Lynch goes for a senton off the top of the ladder onto Asuka.
Yep.
And
yep.
Asuka, she just like kind of hits Asuka and then falls off the ladder and they both
slides off
writhing in pain. And I'm like, oh, that sucks for everyone.
Oh, I grazed my behind. My behind. Yeah.
But from such a high angle, it just sucks so bad. Like the watching that sucks for them. Not that the move sucked.
No,
It was fine. It was
a good spot designed. It was just.
Yes, exactly. I mean, listen, I actually enjoyed the Women's Money in the Bank. I thought some of the spots that went really well.
Yes.
The finish with Liv and Becky was great. Doing that whole like pushing your leg up against the ladder as it's coming down to reposition it and reestablish it, that takes some work. And for Liv to be able to do that was pretty cool.
I thought it was good. It was I think I would have enjoyed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
that one a little bit more if it was just like ever so slightly faster paced, but it was good. It wasn't bad. Like, it was a good finish.
And Becky throwing a fit at ringside afterwards is really good because
people, yeah,
they're going to come around to that again. People really enjoyed it. If you were sitting at ringside, you got your money's worth because Becky put on a show. But also for those who are, you know, talk about storytelling like us, there's a lot of meat on that bone. They gave her that good up on Monday where we sat here and said, is she turning face? Like, what are we doing here? And then immediately on Friday, they just doubled down and said, nope. And then they did what they did last night with the throwing a fit after the match and losing. I think there's a lot more going on there.
Yeah, they've kind of taken you on a ride with her, and it's good. It's like people were complaining a little bit about that finish. Obviously, they were silenced a little bit later on when Liv had her bigger moment, you know, which other people had like thoughts about the cash in timing, but like it felt like they had to do it that way. Like, again, because of how they were finishing the show, they needed to shove that thing in there just before it to try to boost things a little bit more. And they were able to add the Becky storytelling at the end of the match, which took away from Liv's shine, but you know, she got a bigger opportunity later on. So
it's very frustrating because if you think about it, the only thing you could have done, people still would have been upset with the Lashley, or sorry, with Theory added to the men's Money in the Bank match. If you had done Lashley winning the US championship and then go right into Money in the Bank. Of course, you do all the promos and whatever. You kill 25 minutes. And then insert Theory. I don't know. Could you have done that? And it would have been okay without the Liv cash-in? Would Lashley winning the U.S. title, would that have been enough for the night?
Absolutely not. No, it was good to see the fans like really solidly behind Lashley. And that was a good match. Like, overall, it was fun. Not because of Theory, because I really enjoyed Lashley's work in it. But like,
there's the one moment where they go for the spot against the ring post where Lashley catches Theory, who's coming off. He catches him in a fireman's carry, but he like kind of stumbles and then has to get back up with him. I was like, that was a good save, but I definitely almost felt awful for both of them because it was a really interesting spot, a good power spot that just kind of got almost really messed up.
That was like the story of the night, though. Like, just a lot of power spots that were kind of shaky, and
it's that Vegas heat, I'm telling you.
it's all that
Vegas heat and humidity, not even the humidity,
the dry air.
It just dries you right out, so they had to keep hydrating. They didn't hydrate enough. Do you want to talk about Bianca Belair and Carmella?
It was fine.
So match was fine. The finish was not in doubt, but the one thing I loved was them having Carmella beat down Bianca and everyone think it was going to be cash in time. I don't like the fact that now that means we're going to see Carmella Belair too, probably on Raw this coming Monday.
I don't know that it's going to drag that. I don't think they're going to drag that on. Like, I think that's just to fill some TV time. Bianca's a star, so like, it's just I love watching her do her thing. It's just a shame she doesn't have any like really good dance partners right now.
What's frustrating is that the Bailey thing, supposedly they're hoping to bring her back as a face, which I wouldn't do.
She goes back to the hugger gimmick? I don't
know. She just comes back because, you know what? She's going to get cheered when she comes back. But you know what I would do on Monday, if they run the match back, Carmella and Bianca, you have Carmella lose the match, then go and beat down Bianca again. Bailey shows up, helps Bianca up and beats down, like gets Carmella out, and then beats up Bianca Belair. And then there's your match for SummerSlam. It's Bianca and Bailey. That's the match that was supposed to happen before Bailey got injured.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's fine. I think, you know, all you need to do with Bailey is just put her with Carmella for a week or two and boom, everyone hates her. Great.
Baymella would be hilarious. People loved Baymella in NXT and they loved it when they ran it in the, on the main roster for a minute. Exactly. I would do it again. Why not?
Yeah, sure.
But the match itself was good. The KOD was really weird. Oh, Carmella landing on her side.
It looked really cool, though. Like, I really loved the way it looked because there was like a stall before she dropped her down. Like, it looked interesting. So I didn't mind it. I liked the weirdness of it because it looked like it hurt a little more.
Shout out to Corey Graves in this match being like, she's not even on my dental insurance yet.
Was pretty good. What am I going to do with the whole case of Dom Perignon? That's true. And then, I can't remember. It might have been Saxton. It was like, give it to Bianca.
feed it to the dogs. that's the YouTube content that we need for their show that was never very good.
I only
made it past the third episode and I was like, and we're done. Never watching this again.
yeah
But yeah, the match itself, again, it was what it was. No expectation of Carmella winning. Rhea Ripley now is kind of in flux. She was out of the match. They put in Carmella. When do we do Belair versus Rhea? Is the I don't think that's the SummerSlam match, mainly because if the rumors are true, Dave is saying it's going to be Liv and Ronda. So the Raw side has to have something that's like equally big, but not like blockbuster. And I use that term loosely in this case, big.
I'm way more interested in any matchup that Bianca is doing rather than anything with Liv or certainly Ronda. Like it's just a shame. Like, I feel like she's really the star who should be getting like the big attention, and it's getting overshadowed by these other feuds that aren't hitting for me at all. So even Liv, like I've not been like shy about not being the hugest Liv stan. She's fine. Like, I'm glad she got this win. I'm glad she's got the belt off Ronda. That's better. But where do we go from here?
So, okay. So I'll hop ahead. Natty and Ronda have their match.
Yeah.
The match is fine. They do a submission specialty. They do the HBK sharpshooter thing from Ronda.
It's fine. Yeah.
No, funny. It's cute. It's fine. And the match is okay. And Natty's good. And yada, yada, yada. Natty loses the match and Ronda retains. She hurt her left leg in the match, left knee. And then out comes Liv. Liv cashes in. They do a really good job of making it look like this will be the first failed cash in.
That story
would have been good.
Yeah. They sold me a ticket on that. I really thought she was going to tap out to that ankle lock, but
yeah. So instead, she eventually gets the win. She kicks out Ronda's knee from underneath her knee, if you know, you know, and gets the win. So again, a good little moment there, and everyone's excited because Liv not only won Money in the Bank, but also won the SmackDown Women's Championship, opens up a few more opportunities, and then Ronda gives her a big hug and walks away. Now the two questions persisted. Why did Ronda stay out that long to do that? And two, is Ronda taking any time off? And it looks like it's not happening. Ronda's going to come right back.
She's sticking around. All right.
That's the rumor. rumor. That's the Dave rumor. So a lot of people are kind of shitting on the idea of, you know, Charlotte comes back and she's going to win the title. And you know what? I get it. I get people are kind of burnt out on Charlotte, but yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't hate it.
Hold on. Give me your thoughts. Yeah.
Remember a few years ago, there was the whole story of Liv getting really upset and like leaving, going on vacation, like going out for a while. And that was after a big loss to Charlotte, who was like, you can't cut it here. You suck. Mm-hmm. And she went away. She came back. And now the story is, I came back. I won a title. I'm the guy. I'm the woman. I'm the person. I deserve your respect. I deserve to have this title. So what do you do next? You have a match between Charlotte and Liv, and Liv can win. And if Charlotte wins, then it's by cheating.
Yeah.
And then you can run it back. You can do a series of matches with Charlotte and Liv, and I'm sure it would be actually quite good. But I understand the hostility because people have this understanding that if Charlotte shows up, Charlotte's going to win. But really, that's not true. She wins a bunch, but she doesn't win as much as people like to say she does.
Yeah, I mean, that's my biggest concern for how they'd end this like Big E, where it just ends up that Charlotte comes back, takes the title, and that's the end of that. So there is that threat, which I get the concern over that. I would just like some novelty, but you know, that's too much to ask for at this point. Like I don't know, build a different star. Like, that's my only real complaint. It's not a main issue with Liv or Charlotte in particular. It's just I would like something that's a little bit different. Like, I honestly, the Natty stuff, the build to this match, I was a little bit more engaged with, because at least Natty was getting some like funny lines in the dress up as Ronda thing. Like, it was okay. It was different. At least that's all I'm asking for. I knew the match was going to be what it was, and it was what it was. Like, it did not enthrall me. That's for sure. But I liked the build more than I've liked a lot of builds lately. I'm really ready for a new face to kind of come into the title picture and go against Liv. Like, because at least she's fresh. I'm terrified of the never ending wooden acting. Maybe throw in Sonya like as her competitor. Like, Sonya's getting a little bit of shine on SmackDown, so like, let's build that maybe for a feud, or you know, a little bit.
Sonya versus Liv would actually be a really good
yeah
again, this is the one thing that having Liv on top is exciting about, there are multiple wrestlers that can have matches with her, good or bad. I don't care, good or bad, but yeah, like,
but different.
She can match up with a lot of different people.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for. But God knows it'll be Charlotte and Ronda. So
absolutely, it's going to be Charlotte and
Ronda. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm happy, but I also I'm cautiously optimistic, I think is the right way to put it.
Yeah, I'm expecting the worst, so it's fine.
You saw the Bliss WWE Visa card spot.
I was watching UFC. I heard it in the background, and I was like, I don't need to flip over for this.
Not only did it get panned by everybody, but my favorite part is it was cut so poorly. It's like her going into the locker room. It's like they do like a double jump cut, and it just looks really bad. Like whoever was editing it was just like, they did it after the Money in the Bank match, and they like threw it together, and they were like, "Oh shit!" And that was that.
It was. It didn't sound good. I loved that everyone booed the hell out of it immediately. Like that was gratifying because this felt like some real Bread and Circuses shit. Like this felt like let's abuse the pores, like in their dumb programming. Like this felt like it was talking down to the audience really brutally. So I'm glad everyone booed the shit out of that.
Like, rightfully so.
Get out of here.
But they didn't boo the hell out of that Usos Street Profits match. It started slowly. I didn't know if I was enjoying it. At one point I tweeted out, I wish I had a snack because I was legit hungry. And then they picked it up, and then they did the flips. They did the moves. They did the 2.9s, and it picked up really well. I was really invested in this match down the home stretch, probably the last half of it.
Yeah.
And they found a really good way to come back to it because they did the idea of the shoulders were up on the mat and Tez wasn't pinned. Which, by the way, Montez never gets pinned.
He was hella unconscious, but yeah.
Yes. So I love two. So the two things I love out of this is that, yes, Tez was pinned, but Tez was not pinned. So they kept that whole trope alive. And on top of it, they have an opening to run it back at SummerSlam with some sort of gimmick. And I don't know what the gimmick's going to be. What would you do?
Oh, man, I don't know. These guys would excel with anything, right? Like,
it's going to be a ladder match.
I know it's going to be a stupid ladder match or something. I thought TLC, but like they're probably going to have that pay-per-view at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I don't know. Like, do the tables match. They got the Dudleys move now, yeah?
Yeah, that's true. The 1D. The one done.
So, I mean, you could build that up. You just throw it on SmackDown. People keep putting each other through tables like they did with, Nyla and Lana a while back. Nia. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Honestly, the build on Friday for this was so good. Like, just those guys on the mic, tremendous. Like, without a stutter, without a hiccup, no hesitation, just buttery smooth delivery, like, through the entire thing. I love that, and I miss it, because it used to be much more commonplace where everyone could spit out a promo like that and just hype me up for a match, and it feels like a rarity now. But these guys got it, all four of them, like, just very strong.
Yeah,
and like Tez and Dawkins right now, I didn't know. I am surprised that there was room for them to up their game, but like they have, like they and the look for both of them now is just it's exceptional. So
I see in the chat the idea for Martin 2 out of 3 falls. I don't hate it.
I don't either. I think that would be excellent. Like I thought Last Man Standing initially, that was my gut instinct. And I was like,
they're already doing that at SummerSlam.
I know they're already doing it at SummerSlam, but I wouldn't put it past them to do 2. But like, I do think, 2 or 3 falls makes the most sense. Put a gimmick on each of them if you want.
Have they ever done a tag team Last Man Standing match?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I've never seen it. It feels like a lot of work.
It would be hard to kind of map that out because you got two guys, right? You got to keep them down. But,
yeah. And is the story like, both team members have to be down? Is it one team member? Like,
one team member, yeah. What's the way you could just drag someone's ass out? There's a lot to play with in there, though. Like, if they haven't done it, there's a lot of stuff you could play around with.
It's a very TNA thing.
Yeah.
Which I would love to see, honestly. Like,
yeah, same.
It would be perfect.
I feel WWE's doing a little bit more Impact stuff. We can talk when we get to SmackDown. I got thoughts, but anyway.
Okay. That's pretty much it for the show. They ended up doing a show that was 3 hours. And I mean, I was mostly entertained. Again, it sucks that they painted themselves into a corner with the theory stuff. And we already talked about it. It's, there are options, but it just, they painted themselves into a heel winning and sending the crowd home pissed off, especially it's the guy that they just kind of brought out the last second.
Yeah, I know. Like it was, and you know, Adam Pearce having to come out and give that as if it was exciting, and like I was just like, okay, like they did do the dry run at MSG, like that's exactly the same vibe. And then the match was good. Like it's just there's so many, like literally everybody else in that match is more interesting. Every single other person is more interesting as a winner, as a wrestler. So it's just frustrating. The most interesting stuff to me was the Omos stuff, which they, you know, they did the Brian Cage spot, and then they did the I liked the everyone just like heaving him through the announce desk. But
that was really funny. I was like, I wanted to say something, but I couldn't. It was just like the one guy that they're throwing in, and look at the rest of the guys who are doing the spot. Yeah. Anyway,
it was a good heave though. They chucked him. They chucked him some distance.
I'm sure backstage he was just like, just go for it.
Just go. I can take one bump.
Yeah, and if it's seven guys tossing me, I think I'll be okay, guys.
Yeah, make sure I land flattish. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Just don't throw me on my side, please.
Yeah.
What was it from SmackDown? Because I mean, now SmackDown is kind of inconsequential. That you really
it was
really
a good
liked.
Show. SmackDown was a good show overall. Like I really enjoyed it. I was surprised. Like you know, minus opening it with the stupid everybody on the ladder again. Are we gonna do this every time?
You know what it was? They haven't done that in a while, but you know what that was? That was a bunch of people on the internet being like, I missed the time when they did the ladders on the opening spots of Raw. And someone on WWE was just like, bet. And then here we are, they did it. And then they did the Battle Royal, which they then called, apparently it was called the King of the Mountain Battle Royal.
Oh.
On the backstage notes, because Jeff Jarrett works there now. But yes, they called it a good old fashioned battle royal, because if there's one thing you want in life, it's an old fashioned. So
I could use one right now.
Oh dear.
Talk about this. Yeah, like the lack of stakes made it very strange to me. The battle for supremacy. And I was just like, okay.
I thought that was in November. We did the battle for brand supremacy.
Yeah, I thought so too, but whatever. Yeah, I was dumb. What I was referring to, not just that, because that was pretty impacty, was the Max Dupree stuff. Like
so good.
Titillate the juices of your guilty pleasures.
Yeah.
So impact. Like all of that was impact, but I love it. I loved every second of this. I love what they're doing with him. I have no notes. I'm annoyed that it took this long to get here. That was just waffling because, you know, they can't write a show. But I love this. I love that Mace has a thing to do. I love that Mansoor has a thing to do, which, oh my God, I was almost certain they were going to call him Mansoor, which means my sister.
Mansoor.
So I'm glad they switched it up and did not go with that. Hopefully, I guess someone backstage knows French and was like, no, you can't. Don't do that.
I don't think it was that. I think they wanted to call him Marseille.
Oh, Marseille.
But because people don't understand how French spellings work, they went with Mace and just went
all Marseille. All those L's, yeah.
Yeah. And also look at the way that they spelt. Like they kept using accents wherever they could.
Doesn't make any sense. It's so funny. And like punctuation in the middle of like it's man dot. Yeah.
Yeah. May dot CCD accent aigu.
Accent aigu. Yeah. Yeah.
Marseille. And that Mace, not exactly, Mace. And then Mansoor is Mansoor, but they have the A with the circle around it. And
not even a French thing. Yeah, it was very funny. Like, I loved it. I loved, what's his name? Max Dupree's delivery the entire time. Like, just very well done. To do it in Mecca of Fashion, Phoenix, Arizona. Beautiful. Beautiful. Like it just pissed off so many people. The crowd just booing the entire time.
So good.
Yes. Give it to me. That was so funny. I really, really loved it. Hopefully this keeps getting the love that it deserves, because this feels like a fun gimmick to me. And and the faces, like just Mason Mansoor. What are they calling Mansoor now? Like it's Mansoor. Kind of.
I don't know.
It's like, I took note of it when it happened because I wanted to be able to say it, but I can't remember for the life of me what they did. Mansoor's face was hilarious. Like, yeah. just absolute, like, oh my God. Give that guy everything. He's so talented. Like,
so they got to add other people, and I know you and I joked about Cameron Grimes. I still want that to happen.
Yeah, that would be great.
I want it to be Cameron Grimes trying to get in, and every week Max Dupree being like, no,
no,
absolutely
not. Hell, absolutely. Look at these guys. Look at you.
Yeah, exactly. Let that be.
You're right. So funny. So easy. Good 9:30 segment. Like,
yeah. The other people, I another tag team, it'd be pretty deadly. But of course they already have one tag team in Mason Mansoor or Marseille and Mansoor. I don't know what the hell it is.
Sour?
Don't be sour would not be the right one.
Sour.
Man sour. Don't be sour on your man. But pretty deadly would fit perfectly, but maybe a little too perfect.
Too much, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, it's such a funny, stupid group, and I'm so excited to watch them grow.
And that overdone, ridiculous catchphrase or tagline is I love it. I love it so much.
Are you titillated?
I am titillated. I'm titillating all over the place, as Pat McAfee said.
I hope you all titillate yourselves into donating a super chat and leaving a thumbs up on this video. How about that?
Yeah, do it.
So I don't think there's anything else from SmackDown that was not already brought into the money.
Yeah, I think the big parts were Max Dupree and the Usos Street Profits bit. That was my takeaways.
And Ronda being like, my daughter is 9 months old.
What the hell was that yammering on? It didn't go anywhere. She also said irregardless while trying to insult someone's intelligence. So it's just like, God, woman. Like,
very smart, that Ronda Rousey, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
See you next week on Ronda Rousey's. Anyway, Dynamite. First of all, we didn't talk about Forbidden Door because last week we previewed Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
The show itself, really good wrestling. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Really nothing of consequence came from it other than FTR winning the IWGP tag titles in a very good match.
Yeah.
And the John Moxley interim World Heavyweight Championship. And of course, none of this was referenced on Dynamite the following Wednesday. They just had like John Moxley interim champion, beat Tanahashi. That's it. And FTR coming out with Danhausen. They are the new IWGP tag team championships along with the other two tag team titles that they hold. And I was like, that's it, eh? We're just going to brush on by what happened on Sunday. Okay, let's go.
And then, you know, and the Forbidden Door is still a little bit open because the Young Bucks later have a match on Friday, but that's about it. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it is. What can you do, right? They want to do this thing, but they also want to like act like they're telling stories. So it gets real messy. Like,
this is the one thing that I harp about with AEW is just that after a pay-per-view, nothing sits. Or after a big moment, nothing sits. Please, I don't want you to hit me over the head with it dozens of times like WWE does, but there's a medium ground.
Let things breathe a little bit. Like I need fallout, right? Like that's what you need from this stuff. You need big moments and then fallout from them, not just like go, 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 go. It's a constant sprint. And it's a shame. Like I'll go back to it. I wish I could be watching Impact, but you know, you got your other show and we got to talk about all this other stuff. So like Impact just seems to be the most fun and the most like, as silly as their stories are, they're a little bit more grounded, like in reality. Like it just.
If we have some time towards the end of the show, we'll talk a little bit about Against All Odds, because I don't know if you watched it or not, but it was actually a really solid show.
And it sounded excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give a couple of quick hits from there that are worth going back to watch. But Blood and Guts, the match itself, we'll talk about in a minute. But the opening match, even with All Ego Ethan Page and Orange Cassidy, I liked it. It was a really well done match. And they ended it with a friggin' body slam. It was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's they foreshadowed it. I actually liked what's his stupid name?
Dan Lambert
this week. He didn't call anyone a whore, and it was funny.
Was he gonna call a whore? Who was he gonna call a whore?
He finds a way, man. He just finds a way. Sure. But it was good. Like he came out and he's like, yeah, there's rules here. You have a manager's license. He's like, yeah, it's fine. It's good. I like that.
So good. Again, to me, the outcome wasn't in doubt just because Orange Cassidy lost to Will Ospreay the weekend before. And they want to give you the assumption that Orange Cassidy can bounce back at any time. But Ethan Page, I'm so excited for him to not be stuck losing matches on Dynamite again.
Yeah.
Just give me more. Christian Cage comes out and he's like, I'm sorry that I didn't do this sooner.
Your family isn't dead. Sorry,
your family's not dead except for your mother. Call me.
Oh man. That's
and then he says, we got a match tonight, but not with me.
course.
And of course, out comes, oh my God, we have
wow. That's good all times. At once.
Yes, that's what they do now. Luchasaurus Oscuro walks out as we had predicted the week before. Very exciting time, let me tell you. And he takes on Serpentico, squashes him, and the match was fine.
Was Serpentico also like not? He was fine facing Christian Cage, but Luchasaurus is too much. Like
Luchasaurus is died. Different guy, totally different guy.
Totally different. I mean, he would have died to Christian too. So like, I don't know. He should have just gone out there prepared to get his ass beat. But
by the way, going back, sorry, I'm gonna hop back to Money in the Bank for a second. That's that promo that everyone was talking about. The one that people were like, is it Bray Wyatt?
Oh, is that it, stupid vignette. Yeah.
Is it Abel Stevenson because of the gold medals?
They saw two gold medals, literally forsake everything else that was in that. It's Gable Stevenson, like weird, brooding, antichrist Gable Stevenson.
That's what I expected.
They're just going to do Kurt Angle again, you dumb-dumbs.
Gable's going to be Kurt
like,
too.
Why would they try harder than that? Like,
they're going to rename him Gable Angle. It's Edge. That's all that matters.
It was a piss poor thing. I get the Bray Wyatt vibes at least. People had something to stand up. But if you look at the details, no, it's not. Like,
anyway, that sidebar was brought to you by the fact that Christian was out on Dynamite.
Yeah.
That's how we got here. Scorpio Sky and Wardlow are going to have a street fight next week, and the title TNT title's at stake. What do you think? We're gonna crown a new TNT champion, because the thought is that maybe Scorp is injured, or is Scorp well enough to win and beat Wardlow? That's what I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's a shame for Scorpio, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Wardlow wins.
Yeah, I'm not big on that, but whatever.
Me neither. But I mean, they screwed that up. They screwed it all up.
Again, the TNT title has just not been.
No, they
the stories with the TNT title have not been great lately, and we all thought that this would be it. Like, not Wardlow, but having Scorp with the TNT title would be it.
Yeah.
If Wardlow wins, I have to assume that Scorp is out for a period of time to get work done, which sucks, because then the injury bug is really, really running rampant in AEW. But at the same time, if Wardlow loses, where does Wardlow go from here? What happens with Scorp and the TNT title? Like, what do we do? It's very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they're just going to give him the belt. Wardlow is going to continue to build his like Bruce Springsteen character, even though he's like, a genetic freak type guy. Like, he's not a man of the people. Stop doing this like Joe Plummer bull with that guy. Like, he's not a Joe Everyman. A
large man.
Like, stop. I don't need him to be like Joe from Cleveland to like him. Like, just let him be a big monster.
I see in the chat, Men of the Year will be a great contender for FTR. Here's the problem with that. Men of the Year need to win matches again, dominantly win matches. And they need to be looked at as a dominant tag team. Having them lose individually doesn't really make them look great as a tag team, even if the tag team continues to win.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's just this booking ADHD, right? Like, it's all over the place.
Yeah. And again, like, they're in the chat, I don't normally say people are held back, but Ethan doesn't need any of this baggage. And I agree. There, he's got to find, they have to find a way to balance out Ethan Page with a big win and just start getting people away from this whole Ethan Page keeps losing matches. Cause that's where my brain is going with him. I don't care if he wins on Elevation and Dark, because I'm not watching Elevation and Dark. Yeah. I'm not watching. Sorry. I'll just do the WWE comparison. I'm not watching Main Event. I'm not paying attention to the YouTube shows. I'm watching Rampage. I'm watching Dynamite to see what's going on there, to see where my wrestlers stand. So that's just where I'm at.
Can't watch everything. Like, it's just not possible.
No. And I can try as best as I can, but like, I'm just not interested in Dark, because honestly, the Dark stuff, I don't like matches that are obvious to me like that. The Dark has always felt like we're padding this guy's win-loss record.
Like, it's a training show for some people, and then just pad the records.
Yeah. When I hear that some of my favorite wrestlers, like, you know, Jake Something is on, and I'm like, great for Jake Something. Very happy to see that. But I'm not going out of my way to watch the match because I know if he's facing, let's say, someone who's signed full time to AEW, Jake Something's probably not going to win that match.
Yeah. And if something truly noteworthy happens, I'll get the clip. Like when Wardlow was kneeing that fool in the face. Like that's
that was a good one.
Know, I'll get the clip. Like, I don't need to watch the whole thing.
Max Caster, Austin Gunn, Colton Gunn taking on Danhausen and FTR. There's nothing to say here other than the end of the match where finally you had Billy Gunn shove his stupid sons down.
Love it. I love that. Good stuff. I like 2022 Billy Gunn a whole lot. He's very fun. I'm glad he's able to keep doing his thing, and he's still a fun, big, scary man.
Fine by me. And then Jade Cargill takes on Layla Gray, beats her. She's 34-0. I kind of got lost in this. Did Layla Gray sign a contract and now she's the extra baddie?
I think at the end, Stokely, like, just talk to her and be like, hey, do this thing. That's what commentary was trying to put over. So I don't know that it's a guaranteed thing. It might just be a 1 week thing. It might be something that we see later on. I thought it was someone else wrestling Jade this week, but I guess I'm just getting a little bit lost.
They hadn't announced anyone until like two okay. nights before.
Yeah, yeah. I thought someone else had called their shot last week, but I think maybe that was actually Rampage last week that match happened. It might have been, yeah, I don't know.
Match happens. I mean, Layla Gray, my favorite thing about Layla Gray is that she continues to both appear on SmackDown and, or not just SmackDown, she appears on WWE programming and AEW programming, and she's just non-committal the whole way through.
She's being courted. She's
playing the game, man. Yeah, it's good stuff.
It. Keep it up.
Yeah, so I don't know if she's joining the baddies. I see in the chat, they're like, yeah, she's going to join the baddies, but nothing's official. And of course, everyone's still waiting for Sunny Kiss to join the baddies, but I don't know if Sunny Kiss is going to join the baddies.
I don't know. I don't think so.
A little conversation I have with Sunny Kiss. I don't know if they're going to do the baddies thing with Sunny Kiss, but we'll see. Blood and Guts. Here's the match. First of all, I got to say, it sucked watching Santana go down.
Immediately
comes into the match, and it really sucks because Santana has been having a really good time on the indies and doing really great singles matches. Hopefully, whatever took him down isn't a long-standing injury.
Yeah.
Match itself was fine. Felt a little bit long at times. Don't know about you. Bit.
Yeah. I mean, it was what it was. When I saw that they were doing it like in the second hour, I was like, okay, it's going to be a long one. I liked it. Like, it's what I kind of like in wrestling. So I really enjoyed a lot of it. So many ads kind of took me out of it because they like just fired through a bunch of picture in picture stuff during the first like 30 minutes of it. And then like it came to the on top of the cage stuff where they were just kind of in holding for a while. Like TV worked against it in my mind in this instance, but is what it is.
I really enjoyed I enjoyed when they finally got to 6-on-6. I enjoyed Eddie doing the spot where he walks in and just canes everyone as he walks through to the other side. Yeah. That was fun. Yeah. I didn't even mind Sammy being launched off the cage by Eddie. I knew it was coming.
It was obvious. It was very obvious because of that stupid timekeeper's table, but like it looked good. It was fine.
Yeah. So it was fine. Like you said, it was fine. I do like Claudio getting the win at the same time as Eddie is getting trying to
humiliate Jericho. That
yeah,
was
he's
great
trying to tap out really Jericho. Some really good stuff there. There's some good storytelling. Claudio versus Eddie Kingston will be fun when they inevitably get to it. But other than that, the match just kind of felt like it was there. And I think because of the Santana stuff, they had to, just like last week, kill a bunch of time in the last 5 minutes. So they did a lot of posing at the top of the ramp or at the top of the cage. Mox looked like he was scared shitless to be up there. Apparently he stayed up there well into the time when they were setting up for Rampage. He was scared to come down. Apparently.
That's very funny.
I love it. The idea of John Moxley being scared of nothing but heights is great.
You know, gravity will humble us all.
Yeah. So it was again, good match. Delivered clearly in the ratings, which we never talk about, but it made people, you know, interested and invested.
Hey, I made sure to actually catch it like live, which I don't always do. So I was excited for it. It looked good. The fork stuff was fun.
Yeah, the honest to God, the only thing I would have changed is I would have made it a 5-on-5 instead of 6-on-6 because the extra 5 minutes
felt a little.
Yeah, the extra 5 minutes to get one person in the ring and then the next person, like, it just that kind of dragged it out for me doing a 6-on-6. But again, I got where they were coming from. It was just a fun match, easy to watch. If you like blood, it was not easy to watch. So there you go,
Jericho. That's society, great fit.
There was something about Jericho Appreciation Society that I wanted them to do in this match. And I forget what it was.
Like a dance down the ramp to the cage. That would have been hilarious.
Like, yeah, they should.
They look like the bloody Backstreet Boys.
If they make it to Halloween, I want them to do the Thriller dance.
Yes. Yeah. Do it. That sounds hilarious. I think that's cringy. It's awesome. Yeah.
Rampage, I got to be honest. I did not watch Rampage. I knew what was happening. I knew who won everything. I knew what was going on. Brody King wins the Royal Rumble, the Rampage Rumble.
It was cool.
I heard it was fun.
Yeah. Interesting format. Yeah. I didn't mind it. I liked it.
Brody versus Mox kind of opens up the idea that it's going to then turn into a Mox versus, or even just Blackpool Combat Club versus House of Black, which to me sounds like a choice.
It's awkward. Isn't it also could just be Mox versus a monster onto the next thing right after, right? Because he did that a lot. Like, I'm thinking back to when he did the Archer match. Like, I don't know that it's going to drag out.
I mean, Buddy Matthews is supposedly injured, so that's another thing that maybe throws a wrench in the plans. But I think
Daniel Bryan, so...
Well, that's the thing. I don't know, man. If they do Brody King versus Mox and Mox wins, I wouldn't be against them doing Malakai versus Mox in some sort of thing. But in the middle of the pay-per-views. Like, it's not a pay-per-view match to me. It's like a Road Rager, Bash at the Beach, whatever they're going to call their big summer event. That would be where I'd put it.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Takeshita, of course, had a great showing as per usual.
Yes. Yeah, very good.
Takeshita. Who else was in this match? There were so many people.
I mean, Darby did really had a strong performance, you know.
Yep. Made it to the end.
Threw his back at things, yeah. Man, who else? Like, the Swerve and Keith stuff was okay. Like,
they put Rush in the match, but they didn't have Andrade. I'm interested in seeing where we go with Los Ingobernables, La Facción Ingobernables.
Ingobernable.
I want to know what happens there. What are we doing here? What else happened? Tell me what else happened on this.
I'm trying to think. Like, it was a good little battle royal. Ricky Starks looked good throughout Keith Lee, after Keith Lee, throughout Hobbs. Like, they had that stuff all put together, although it feels like we're still going on the same path with that. Yep. Blade Butcher looked amazing, as they always do, and should get more attention. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's move on.
Oh, Hangman was in it through the whole thing because, you know, he was like the only like former champion, like champion tier guy who was in it, but they made him look good. It was fine.
Good. Bucks beat Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi. No shock there. Yeah. And there we go. Let's go. Apparently the main event. So Nyla Rose and Toni Storm had a match.
Yeah.
Heard it was actually quite good. Heard that Nyla had a really good promo leading into it. A very entertaining one with the split screen.
Yeah, like honestly, I was very impressed with the women's main. Impressed with Toni, who, like, again, I haven't been like the hugest fan of. Not that she's been like bad, but she did a very good job. Marina Shafir as well, like as an outside person, was very good in this. It's just what we're getting now is something I'm a little less interested in.
So they're doing Thunderstorm, which you and I made reference to and joked about once upon a time.
Yeah.
And then, so they do the whole, like, Tony Khan is going to have, what was he saying? Tony Khan's going to have this tweet that goes out and says Thunderstorm versus Nyla Rose and Marina Shafir. And then Shafir replies, actually, we're called hashtag a beast of a problem. And at that point I was like, I think we need to stop letting these people name their own tag teams. Thunderstorm is cute. A beast of a problem is not exactly something I would
put out there. It's a bit of a mouthful for a tag team name. I mean, so is Swerve in their glory. I also don't like that.
It's memey as hell.
I don't like any of it. Like, it's not for me.
Yeah. It's just, anyway, it just, I had to point it out because I'm sure the match will be fine on Wednesday. But other than that, it's like, they're doing a tag match for women's tag titles that don't exist.
Yeah. But again, again, I don't know. They really need to build up Thunder Rosa. Like, they need to do some stuff to get her, like she was so over just from her matches. And now I feel like it's kind of a struggling reign because I don't have a good idea of her personality. Like, I want to see her talk in a way that lands rather than be given stuff that doesn't really work.
We've been saying this for over a year now. Women's tag titles are coming. I don't think women's tag titles are coming.
I think it's a ways away. I don't think you'll see them till after they do the trios, which is probably still a while away too. And yeah, like, keep in mind, AEW went from being a place with like a very thin amount of titles, like there are no mid-card titles, to now having like way too many titles. Like,
they did the one thing I told you they'd do when Pac won that title at Forbidden Door, the All Atlantic title. I said, I guess Pac's going to start working the UK Indies. And what are they doing next weekend? He's going to have a match, Rev Pro versus Shota Umino, for the All Atlantic Championship. So I'm going to put that over because I think that's good. That's the title that I want to see defended everywhere but AEW. Do it in AEW only once a quarter, maybe around the pay-per-views. But other than that, have Pac go around and defend it elsewhere.
Yeah, which, like, I don't mind. It's nice that there is this kind of central location now where they can filter things in and out indie wise. Like, AEW is now like the promotion par excellence of the indies. It feels like it's just, with that comes a bit more confusion in terms of the title conversations. So you know, the partnership with New Japan, I'm glad the stuff with Impact has kind of waned so that Impact can just do their own thing, because like, it's just going to get really difficult to tell a coherent story, which is fine. It seems like they are leaning more. Did you hear the Kenny stuff on that Twitch stream where he was talking about how it's becoming more about the ring spectacle and less about telling a story? Like, that really resonated with me. Like, his
feelings. I also think that was Kenny kind of working a bit, because
him
and Ospreay and Ricochet are part of the reason why that it prevalently totally exists.
Like, you helped do this, but
you ushered this in. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, but now he's getting older, right? What's he gonna do? Like,
well, that's the plight of the young wrestler who does all the stuff, all the moves, is that when they get older and they can't necessarily do all the moves, they have to start slowing down, which is something that all the veterans tell them to do from the time they're young. Tale as old as time. You know, Jericho would tell the same story. I was told to slow down my entire career, and then I started doing main events and I realized, oh shit, I should slow down. All yeah, that,
because I'm gonna die. And like, you know, work or not, like there's some truth there for me, because like, it is coming at the cost of a good narrative, which no one is doing right now. So
with the few minutes we have left, I do want to hit on Against All Odds, which was the Impact show on Friday night on their Ultimate Insiders, Impact Plus, whatever, however you watch it. Really, really fun show. I do recommend getting your hands on a few things, even the pre-show. So the pre-show was free on their YouTube channel. They did Black Taurus versus Laredo Kid. It was a really, really fun match. There was some good power stuff. There was some really good quick, you know, movement stuff with Laredo Kid. They worked well together, Tortoise and
I can imagine. Yeah,
some really good stuff. There was like a gore off of a second rope cutter attempt. It's really just gnarly stuff. Go watch that. What else did they do? They did Rich Swann and Brian Myers for the Digital Media Championship. Brian Myers won because Rich Swann doesn't have an active Twitter account, so that's
it's fine. Makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And then they do the main show. So I will spotlight that Trey Miguel versus Mike Bailey match for the X Division title. Everyone was talking it up when it happened. I went and watched it afterwards. It's worth every single penny. That match is phenomenal. They did all the moves. They did all the things. The storytelling is great. Mike Bailey is on another level. I've talked about this on other shows. Is Mike Bailey the wrestler of the year in the mainstream media? No, absolutely not. But is he breakout star of the year? 100%. I know people are saying it's Dax Harwood, or maybe they're saying, you know, it's Takeshita, but no, for me, it's Mike Bailey. He is the breakout star of the year, taking 5 years away from being able to work in the States to come back and absolutely tear it up everywhere he goes, including Impact. Really good shit. I'm not going to spoil the tapings that happened last night, but Speedball is going to have a match for the X Division title against somebody who's going to make a pretty good impact, and no pun intended. But Bailey versus this person. If you want to go find the spoilers, go ahead. But it's going to be a really fun match, and that should be airing this week or next on Impact. So that's worth going out of your way to watch. And even Sami Callihan and Moose had a really, really, really solid Clockwork Orange House of Fun match. Just a plunder explosion match.
Yeah.
If you the look that. On your face. Like, are you sure
about I'm that? Doubtful.
It's just plunder. It's just a whole bunch you know, beating each other up with chairs and barbed wire and everything. But
yeah, are there any video game controllers? No.
No, okay. But there is Lego and there is
glass.
They do the Lego spot where Moose empties out a box and it's Lego, and then Callihan empties out a box on the other end of the mat and it's shards of glass.
Okay, that's funny. That's pretty good.
And then Macklin comes out. He's disguised as a cameraman. He low blows.
Must have been hard that.
I didn't notice it until it happened, to be honest. Yeah, exactly. Pretty well disguised. Moose wins.
I'm saying is that Macklin kind of looks like a cameraman as a baseline.
That's true.
He's nondescript.
They're gonna do Moose and Callihan again. They gotta do it a third time because now they're tight one. But now Macklin getting involved adds a whole new dimension that I'm kind of interested in seeing.
That's interesting.
So there's good stuff there. And Raven was on the call for some of this match. It felt like he was just kind of sitting there and adding little bits of commentary here and there.
Glass like, hurts.
Pretty much. Raven. It was just like, no, this is fun. It's like Raven doesn't watch the product, but Raven loves getting a check for the product that he's watching.
Absolutely.
Grace and Steels was good. I'm waiting on an update on Tasha Steels because Jordynne Grace hits a Grace driver, which is like her kind of flippy do. Yeah, you've seen the move.
Oh, yeah.
When I saw it, I yelped, and it's like it's 1 a.m. and I'm like, oh. And she they went right to a break afterwards. Apparently Tasha Steele's like rolled out of the ring afterwards and was in pain. I don't know what's going on, but it sounds like they tried to do it in a weird way to get into that Grace driver, but don't know what's going on. But Jordynne Grace did retain. And then Alexander versus Doring was exactly what you expected. Just Hoss fight, big dude taking on Josh Alexander, who is just a thick guy. And Alexander retains. Joe Doering suffers his first loss in Impact officially. And that's that. No Eric Young, just a straight up send the crowd home happy.
All right.
I think Eric's going to be back very soon, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just good show. Top to bottom, easy watch for $5, at least in Canada. It's just a fun show. So go watch it if you find it. If you have some time today or tomorrow, go watch Against All Odds. We got to get out of here, don't we?
Yeah.
Tim, where can the people find you on the internet?
Oh, you can find me at Tim Stone, PTIMBSTONEP, Twitter, Instagram.
Next week, we'll both be remote, so it's going to be fun. It's going to look weird. It's going to be all sorts of fun. We'll have lots to talk about, I'm sure, because the internet is full of weird things and TV as well. I'm at Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL. Ladies, gentlemen, friends, beyond the binary. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.